Okay, our next speaker is Valeria Velasquez from LOHP.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much. Okay, let's hope this works. This has some video and audio, and I have no idea if it's going to work, but thanks for being here. Today, I'm going to talk about a project we've called Healthy Jobs, which is an attempt to reframe occupational safety and health for broader community participation. And I've worked with Robin Baker and Diane Bush and Laura Stock on this project at the Labor Occupational Health Program at UC Berkeley. And no financial interest here. So, for the past few years, LOHP, my organization, and a number of other organizations in the field have been challenged by a more marginalized position for occupational safety and health issues in the public consciousness. It's just not an issue that's often deemed media-worthy and or all that urgent of an issue for everyday people. And even among our ally organizations who focus on worker well-being, like worker centers and unions and public health clinics, it's often hard to convince them to pay attention to occupational health and safety issues, let alone commit time and resources. So we, among many others in the field, have been trying to figure out strategies to inspire outrage among the public and among individuals and among our allies in response to the atrocities that we see in our work to workers' lives. And we've asked ourselves these questions, which seem kind of basic but are actually pretty complex. How do we get people to care about worker health and safety? How do we reframe occupational health to reach more and new people? And how do we build new alliances and broaden our appeal? So we've thought about approaching this from a number of different angles, and one was to show people a very direct sampling of ways in which workers' lives are tossed aside and how nationally we have very messed up priorities and how striking the injustices are. And I've put together a short presentation that's called Outrage, Injustices to Worker Health and Safety, and we've used it to start off a number of trainings and discussions with different community groups, and I just wanted to show you a few images from that, just to give you kind of a flavor of the type of dialogue we're trying to start. So the first slide I start off with is, a worker becomes injured or ill on the job every 2.5 seconds. More than 15 workers are killed every day on the job in this country, and this is from Michael Silverstein. Not to underestimate the value of the EPA, which is a very important agency, but it's no secret that health and safety is on the back burner in this country. This is from a report from the Cato Institute, a conservative think tank, and it says OSHA is about 1/20th the size of the EPA. This is from Jordan Barab's Confined Space blog, for any of those who follow it, or did. These devastated women are Judy Bennett, the wife of Marty Bennett. He was a continuous mine operator at the Sago mine, where 12 miners were killed in a disaster in 2006. And Judy's sister, Pam Campbell, and the man in the picture is the governor of West Virginia. And these are at the public hearings after the disaster. Pam grilled the company's executives, their experts, and the Mining Safety and Health Administration officials present during the public hearings about the disaster. So how did Congress react after this whole disaster and all the attention focused? Well, the headlines read, "Stiff overhaul of mine safety rules passes Congress. The maximum civil penalty for violations of mine safety regulations will rise from $60,000 to $220,000 per incident." Right. And then we have this to juxtapose. This you may recognize is from the halftime show at Super Bowl 38 in 2004. It's Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson right before they suffered from their wardrobe malfunction. And the headlines read after that. This is how Congress reacted to this comparable incident. Congress increases indecency fines tenfold. The bill would increase the maximum fines from the FCC for indecent content from the current $32,500 to $325,000 per incident. So we start off some of our trainings and dialogues with this show just to, like I said, kind of bring us back and to think about how health and safety is viewed and what sort of priorities we have in this country. Another approach we've tried, too, or we've started to explore, is the way we talk about health and safety. And we've wondered what would happen if we were to make it more accessible and to emphasize how broad it really is and focus on how it affects people's lives holistically. And so instead of talking about things like hazard identification and OSHA and workers' compensation and injury and illness prevention programs, all very, you know, worthy topics and things we train on, we thought about reframing the discussion around the question, what is a healthy job? What does that really mean to you? What should a healthy job mean? And at first, I literally went around asking people, just random people and students and friends and also people in the field, what they thought a healthy job is. And here's examples of the responses I got. And they're very varied and different, and let's hope this works.
Can people hear that?
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. Anyways, okay, so this is Gary. He was one of the workers that we trained in a MOSHTEP specialist training. And he was talking about how a healthy job should address both your mind, your body, and your spirit, and that it should make you a better person completely. That's the gist of it. I don't have it right in front of me. And this was Karen Hart. She does a number of things, but she works for a telecommunications company and is also a professor at the Labor Studies Department at Laney Community College. And she basically talked about a healthy job is something that you can do every day and come back home and come back the same way that you arrived and reach retirement in a healthy state that you can enjoy for the rest of your life. And fortunately, Maria, who is a domestic worker for she belongs to a women's collective in San Francisco called Mujeres Unidas y Activas. It's actually written down because she was speaking in Spanish. For me, a healthy job is a place where there's a good atmosphere, where the work is pleasant, and where I'm not pressured by someone and I have to work nervously. So, yeah, anyways. So, the point of those interviews, well, what we saw from those is that there is a really wide variety of priorities for occupational health, and many of which go far beyond the physical hazards that we talk about traditionally, and many of these illustrate psychosocial hazards, like work overload and time pressure and too little or too much responsibility or discrimination or harassment, lack of support for work-family balance and lack of respect for employees and the work that they do, kind of what Marion was talking about and hearing from the CNAs at the nursing home. They weren't necessarily talking about heavy lifting hazards. They're talking about the stress and the lack of respect. So in defining a healthy job, it seemed necessary to reflect a holistic understanding of health and jobs. And in conceiving this project, we tried to keep that spectrum in mind. So this is the basic project plan for healthy jobs, and our goal was to introduce a new and comprehensive approach to occupational health, examining the structure of jobs, and use this approach as a mechanism to partner with ally organizations. And our main objectives were to first research and define the components of a healthy job, and we would do this by developing a healthy jobs bill of rights. And the Bill of Rights would not be limited to the traditional technical measures of health and safety, but present this more holistic concept that we're thinking about. And I'll show you that in the next slide. And also an objective was to then develop materials that would assist the community to promote healthy jobs. So we are thinking of developing and are in the process of developing one-page position papers and fact sheets that illustrate each of the components that we came up with that define a healthy job. And then finally, to use these materials to collaborate with other organizations that are actively working to reach workers through campaigns and facilitate the use of these materials to promote healthy jobs. Okay, so this is the Healthy Jobs Bill of Rights. And we created this with input from many people in our community, labor organizations, particularly our Labor Advisory Committee. And we, and also some of the research I did comparing healthy jobs kind of criteria from international labor standards and other public health sources. And so the first, there are seven components. The first one is kind of the obvious one, healthy and safe working conditions. And this refers to things like, you know, having a decent injury and illness prevention program, having adequate staffing and decent workload and worker involvement in safety and health programs, a safe return to work, time to recover from work. So here's where it gets a little bit different. Decent wages and benefits. This refers to things like health care coverage and having a decent retirement plan and living wage and paid sick days. Okay, thanks. And then dignity on the job. So in order to have a healthy job, to have a workplace that's free, it's important to have a workplace that's free from harassment and discrimination and where you workers feel like they have job control and job satisfaction and good communication with management and fellow coworkers and room for advancement and a right to voice concerns on the job without reprisal. A family-friendly policy. So this refers to things like flexible paid sick days, flexible schedule, and child care accommodation. And then a positive community impact, a workplace where supports a worker's ability to participate in their own communities, and also a responsible environmental impact on the part of the workplace. And then a support for healthy lifestyles, so this refers to a healthy work-life balance, exercise programs, health promotion programs, possible smoking cessation programs, and then finally a job that has job security, so people feel stable where they're at work. Okay, so I know I'm kind of running out of time, but anyways, collaboration. We've tried this. As you can see, this criteria that we spelled out kind of tilts toward a broader discussion. And if we had just left it at, you know, healthy and safe working conditions, it wouldn't really lend itself to what we're trying to do. So occupational health and safety factors like decent wages and benefits and dignity on the job and a family-friendly workplace, all of these areas could be more conducive to working with other like-minded organizations that don't necessarily always think about health and safety, like the ones that we've tried to collaborate with in the past year. And so our first stab at this was working with the paid sick leave campaign for the state of California. It's a campaign that's trying to implement or to get legislation on paid sick leave for the whole state like they did in San Francisco. And I also worked with Urban Habitat's Social Equity Caucus Quality Jobs Working Group. And both of these groups represented coalitions of different types of community organizations that were working towards a labor-focused project. And with paid sick leave, we had pretty productive discussions related to the relevance of occupational safety and health to the primary goal of their campaign. And we also did some awareness building around occupational safety and health, and we felt like this was a useful and important contribution, and we also benefited by networking with groups that we normally hadn't had much contact with, like, you know, different health and labor and legal organizations. Okay. And I just want to show one example that kind of illustrates a possible, you know, manifestation of this approach of healthy jobs. This is just one more minute. this is the San Francisco Department of Health day labor project, and they go out and do health and safety trainings and outreach to day laborers. And they found that it was more effective, and they were able to get more interest and engagement from the day laborers they're training when they included discussions of wages and benefits along with their health and safety training. So they talked about the relevance of the San Francisco minimum wage and paid sick leave ordinance and worker rights. That seemed to be much more effective in capturing interest. But some challenges are with both of these collaborations was that it was difficult to get coalitions to want to expand their message because they had worked so hard on focusing and honing their own primary messages that it seemed to be working backwards to try to include other groups' interests. And for some groups, like domestic workers or home care workers, it was like not very. It seemed like these rights under the Healthy Jobs Bill of Rights seemed totally unrealistic and unattainable when you have workers that are so exploited that they can't even get the minimum wage that they're entitled to try to think about, luxuries like support for a healthy lifestyle and work-life balance. This didn't seem really realistic. So anyways, I don't really have a conclusion, but I do. Ooh, how do I go back? That one. If our goal is to broaden the reach of occupational safety and health, then does reframing as healthy jobs help? And if you can think of any ways in which this approach could be applied, or any current campaigns that would lend themselves to this perspective, or any organizations that might embrace this more so than other occupational safety and health messages, we'd love to hear from you. And sorry for going over time, but thank you very much.
Yeah. We do have time for one quick question. Anybody?
Great, thanks. Okay, thanks.
Okay.